for going back to Israel, there's an effect on Israel. It contributes to what they call the delegitimization of Israel, which is a fine thing to do. They should be delegitimized when they're doing things like this. And that's a cost. And it also educates people here, if it's done correctly. If you pick and think about the tactics correctly, it can, you are, the tactic is indeed addressed right here to Americans and Britain, to Britons and so on. And you want it to be a contribution to the educational process, which ultimately can lead to a mass popular movement, which will change policy, as has happened in plenty of other things, including South Africa. And so by now, this is fairly mainstream. So Amnesty International, a couple of years ago, did call for an arms embargo to Israel, pointing out that U.S. arms sent to Israel are sent in strict violation of U.S. law. That's very clear. It's an organizing technique that should be used, especially with AI behind it. A Human Rights Watch, which is usually very conservative, particularly on this issue, considering their funding base, now, they've come out with a pretty strong position. Now, they called on the U.S. government to end any aid to Israel that is in any way connected to support for the occupation. That's pretty broad, and I'm glad to see it. I think that can be built upon as a further technique, and there are other things that can be done. Well, there has been a lot of progress in the last few years. I think it was like a meeting like this would have been inconceivable a couple of years ago, and now it's all over the country. A couple of days ago, I talked at the MIT Israel Apartheid Week conference, also kind of like this. Just a few years ago, not many years ago, I mean, I've been talking about these things for 50 years, until pretty recently, first of all, extremely small and mostly very hostile groups, but also police protection. I mean, even at MIT, where I teach, I had to have police protection if I was giving a talk on this topic. You know, police would insist on accompanying my wife and me back to our car. The meetings were broken up, just physically broken up. Even meetings led by leading Israeli human rights activists. So it was pretty awful. It was all over the country. I might give you examples. But that's changed radically. By now, the atmosphere on college campuses, at least, is totally different. If anything, kind of the opposite. And that's real progress. That's going to affect the country altogether if it's pursued properly. It's happened on other issues. South Africa's one, but there's plenty of others, including civil rights issues, women's rights, anti-war, everything else. That's the only way anything ever happens. It always involves committed, dedicated popular movements which work hard to reach out, and if they pick the right tactics, can do it. Well, suppose you can get to the first stage, say a two-state settlement, which I think is feasible. After all, the whole world is for it. It's just U.S. opposition, very much like South Africa in that respect. Well, that's not going to be paradise by any means, just as it isn't in South Africa, just as it isn't with the civil rights movement and so on, and that's pretty normal. Popular struggles can achieve something significant, real triumphs, but never complete. You know, they're at best stages which kind of leave some kind of legacy from which you can hope to build further to reach further goals, and what the further goals should be, you can figure out for yourself. I told you what I think, but you can think about it for yourself. But as always, it's going to take what it always requires: a lot of dedication, a recognition that you're not going to win great successes tomorrow, a commitment to a long-term struggle, and in general, a kind of a willingness to be engaged for the long haul.